the word of God bring change to your life wherever you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Last week we started a series that I believe the Lord laid on my heart. It's a series that the Lord laid on my heart to speak to the church and to use it to bring transformation and a kind of blessing that has been on the run from the church for a very long time. Anytime God decides to give us a message, there must be a reason why the message has been given. And I believe that this message is a message for a wedding season that the Lord has brought us. Last week I started talking about this message and I talked about the gift. Last week was the gift and that draw. So the general topic or title for the series is draw. D-R-A-W. Draw. Draw. Not draw as in sketch, but draw as in pull something, fetch something, access something, take something, bring something out of something. And we started talking about the gift. I think I'll just go straight to the word and then I'm sure as we read the Bible, we'll be able to bring it down. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So you see in verse 8 that as he ascended, he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to the church. He gave gifts to his people. He gave gifts to his children. He gave gifts to his friends. Let's jump to verse 11. Let me show you the kind of gifts that he gave. Verse 11 tells us the gifts that he gave. So verse 8 says he gave gifts. And verse 11 says he himself gave some. So these are the gifts that he gave. Some of the gifts he gave apostles. So he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So these were the five gifts that he gave out. Five gifts, five groups of people that are classified as gifts. Five kinds of people that you can call gifts. Five categories of people that when he was lifted up, he gave these five gifts to men. So he himself gave some to be apostles. So apostles are gifts. Prophets, gifts. Evangelists, gifts. Pastors, gifts. Teachers are also gifts. So he gave five different gifts. There are more gifts, but I want to talk about these five different gifts that he gave when he rose up. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All these five are called gifts. So these are the gifts that God gave when he was lifted up. And then the Bible says in verse 7, go back to verse 7, let me show you what these gifts are supposed to be doing for us, what these gifts are supposed to be bringing. Then the Bible says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We have seen that he gave gifts. We have seen the gifts that he gave. And then the verse 7 is saying that, but to each one of us, grace was given by courtesy of the measure of the gift. So the more of the gift that is in your life, the more grace that is made available to you. So the more of the gift, and we know the gift is the gift of the apostle. The apostle is a gift. The pastor is a gift. The teacher is a gift. The evangelist is a gift. And then evangelist, apostle, pastor, teacher, and what was the fifth one? And the prophet. So these are the five gifts. So, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So your grace level is according to the gift that Christ has released unto you. Your grace level is according to the gift, the amount of gift that has been made available to you. Amount of the gift that you have been given access to. So last week we learned that the stronger the gift in your life, the greater the grace. The more exposed you are to the gift, the more grace you get.
The more influence the gift has on your life, the more grace is available to you. And today I want us to go into the other phases of this message where I have titled, the first was the gift. Now I'm going to talk about the grace. The grace that is available. The grace that comes from the gift. The grace that comes through the channel of the gift. So we have established that the gift is your pastor. We have established that the gift is your prophet. We have established that the gift is your apostle. The gift is your teacher. The gift is your evangelist. So whoever you have accepted as your father, whoever you have opened yourself up to as a father, whoever you have placed yourself under as your father spiritually, that person is the gift of God for your life. That person is the gift of God for your life. That person is the covering that God has for you. That person is the channel through which God releases grace. So if you don't have any gift that you have submitted to, you don't have a gift that you have exposed yourself to, you have actually decided that I don't want so much grace. I want just the, and I'll give you the differences between the graces that are available. But let me just suffice it to say that there's one grace that is for being born again. That is the one that gets you born again. The one that says that I am a sinner. The one that says that you are a sinner and I've forgiven you. I've washed you, I've cleansed you. That is one grace. But there's this other grace that we are talking about. This particular grace is the one that enables you to live a certain kind of lifestyle after you are born again. Unfortunately, what we see is that most people, after they are born again, after they have exposed themselves to the grace that brings them salvation, they cut off from that point. They stay with that grace. They don't move to the next grace, which comes through the gift of God that has been put in your life. Most people, especially spiritual people, operate on the level one grace, which is being born again, which is forgiveness, which is you couldn't have done this by yourself, so I've given you the grace to become. I've given you the grace to be forgiven. I've given you the grace to be washed. I've given you the grace to be cleansed. I've given you the grace. Something that you could not have done for yourself. Something, what's it called? Something that you couldn't have given it to yourself. I have given it to you. I've given it to you. That's level one. The next level is after you have received that grace to be born again, God introduces a gift into your life. God gives you, that's the reason why when you become born again, you don't have to cut off from the church. You don't have to cut off from the pastor. You don't have to cut off from the evangelist. You don't have to cut off from whoever brought you the salvation, because there's another level of grace that you are introduced to when you become born again. I have seen so many people become born again and then they stay at the level where they gave their life to Christ, because that was where they ended it. They never exposed themselves to be brought up by another man of God, or to be brought up by that pastor, or to be brought up by that teacher, so that they will also access that grace. They are at the grace level of where they became born again. I came to speak to somebody that if you want to move from that level of grace where you operated when you got born again to a level of grace where you are enabled to move from where you are to where God wants you to be, you might as well expose yourself to the gift that God has given you. Which gift has God given you? Maybe the gift God has given you is the gift of a prophet. Expose yourself to your prophet. If the gift that God has given you is a teacher, expose yourself to your teacher. If the gift that God has given you is an evangelist, expose yourself to that evangelist. Allow God to use that evangelist. Allow God to use that pastor. Allow God to use that particular gift to open the grace level that is upon your life to come through. And everybody has that. Everybody has it. And everybody must access it. So the grace operating in your life is according to the gift of Christ in your life. The stronger the gift, the more the grace. And when I say the stronger the gift, what I'm saying is this. The stronger the influence of that gift. Which gift do you have? Which gift do you have? If your gift, if you are in a church where you have a pastor, your gift is a pastor. Your gift is that pastor, not a pastor. Your gift is that pastor. If the head of your church is a prophet, your gift is that prophet. No. Let me not also even tie you down. Let me release you a bit. If you think that the man of God that you are sitting under is not your spiritual father, you must look for a spiritual father so that you can submit to that spiritual father, because But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And the Christ gift that we are talking about here is the gift of the fivefold. It's that gift. He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. So look for that gift that has been given to you. The stronger the gift, the more the grace. The more of the gift you receive, the more grace comes. The more open you are with the gift, the more the grace. The more open you are with the gift, the more the grace. So you can actually be walking with your pastor. You can be walking with your gift. You can be walking with your prophet and be a closed book. The prophet knows nothing about you. The pastor knows nothing about you. Your leader knows nothing about you. And so in their prayer, they don't even know what to say. In asking, they don't know what to ask. In advising, they don't know what to advise. In counseling, they don't know what to counsel. Let me tell you this one. The area you open, the area you expose is the area that receives grace. So if you are working with your gift and you only expose your marriage, it is your marriage that receives the grace. You only expose your prayer life. It's your prayer life that receives the grace. That is why you can be with a man of God for a very long time, and the only thing you receive from that man of God is how he prays, or how he reads the Bible, or how he quotes the Bible, because that is the only place you have exposed to him. When you begin to expose your marriage, he will see grace coming onto the marriage. When you begin to expose your finances, you receive grace in that area. When you begin to expose yourself, I know people who came to me and told me that my building, I cannot build for a very long time, I'm not making progress. They expose that aspect of their life to me, and by the grace of God, that grace came upon them and that building started. That what I'm trying to tell you is that the more you open, the more you receive. So the stronger the gift, the stronger the grace. The more open you are with the gift. So don't make yourself, don't confuse yourself that, as for me, I'm a private person. I don't tell my pastor anything. I don't tell him anything. I just cover everything. You know, I'm dealing with it myself. God is all. God, yes, I know that God is dealing with everybody, but he has put somebody there who through whom the grace must come. If you shut that link, you are going to get God's covering, but the grace that must come through that man, sorry, you will not get it. And many, many of us are making mistakes with even choosing a life partner. Many are making mistakes with marriage. Many are making mistakes with jobs. Many are making mistakes with a lot of things, only because they have decided that I cannot expose this side. I will not expose this side. This one is my own private life. This is my own private life. This is my own private life. Keep it private. And let the grace also be private. So in other words, your pastor is one of God's precious gifts to you. Your pastor is your gift. Your prophet is your gift. Your teacher is your gift. Your evangelist is your gift. My pastor, me, my pastor, Pastor Eastwood, is one of God's best gifts that he gave me. He is my pastor. He is the one I listen to. He is the one who speaks to me. He is the one I take advice from. He's the one I seek counsel from. Every aspect of my life, I am willing and ready to open, because wherever I open, I get the grace. Wherever I open, I get the grace. Wherever I open, I get the grace from him. Are you understanding me? Growing up as a Christian in a church, my best gift was Bishop Doug. Greatest gift that God gave me. Everything I learned in ministry at that time, it was my pastor. Look, a lot of the things I do now, it is only because I exposed myself to that pastor. He was my gift. So I don't understand why these days, we the young Christians that have come, we think that we are so smart, so intelligent, so wise. We don't have to, you know, let's not tell them anything. If we tell them, they'll preach with it. If we tell them, if we expose it to them, they will talk about it. If we expose it to them, you receive grace in that area. That's what it is. But the devil has made you feel that if I expose it, they will talk about it. If I expose, they will preach about it. As I am preaching with my life, are you not learning? So what is wrong with me preaching with your life? And when Paul was preaching, whose life was he preaching with? Pastor Prosper. When Jesus was preaching, whose life was he preaching with? Was he not preaching current affairs with people's lives? So if I preach with your life, even without mentioning your name, what's wrong with that? Paul was mentioning names as he was preaching. I hear there's fornication in this house. I hear in the Chloe family. I hear in this family. This one is going on. This one is going on. Look, The reason why we are not seeing what we must see is because we have covered up the things that we should expose for help. If you have a boil that is not making you able to sit, you should open the boil up. Let's put medicine on it so that in a week, the boil will go down for you to sit. The reason why we are suffering and we are not seeing what we want to see and we are complaining and the pastors and the men of God and the this is because we have covered the sin. We have covered the problem. We have when you come to church, you are smiling as if you and your husband, everything is fine. Meanwhile, you have just finished punching her. What upon assume? Even in the car, when you are coming, you punch her face or she punched you. And then you come and say, oh, everything is in order. No, sorry. You've not had food to eat. Your business is collapsed. Things are not going well. But you want to put everything together to show brave face. You know, I can't expose anything because I'm a very respectable man and I'm a very private person. I cannot show anything. Don't show. But what it means is that you are cutting off the availability of grace for that area that you are covering. Whatever you expose to your pastor, whatever you expose to your gift, whatever you expose to your covering is where the grace flows. Don't worry, I'm preaching. I'll get there for you. I'll get there for you to understand. So as I keep walking with him, anytime, as I keep walking with God, anytime God is ready to give me grace, he brings somebody. Anytime God is about to give me another level of grace, he introduces somebody. It is always a man of God or a person that God will introduce. Then another grace will come. I hit a point. I needed some things to be done. The Lord brought a man of God into my life. I connected and that grace opened. I'm telling you, look, there's no message I'm preaching here today that I've not practiced. Everything I'm telling you is something I'm practicing. And it has worked for me. That's why I can tell you about it. When God wants to give grace to a person, he sends him a gift. When God wants to give grace to a person, he sends him a gift. And the name of that gift is called pastor. The name of that gift is called prophet. The name of that gift is called evangelist. The name of that gift is called apostle. The name of that gift is called teacher. When he's ready for you, he'll send you a gift. And when he got ready for you, he sent you a gift. Don't ever think that, oh, I came to church myself. No, nobody came to church themselves. Nobody came themselves. Even those who were forced, they didn't come themselves. God placed upon someone's heart to force you. As a Christian for about 30 years of my life, one of the most difficult assets to acquire is the asset of this gift. It's one of the most difficult assets to acquire. Finding someone you can submit to is one of the most difficult jobs to do. So when God finds you one, it's because he loves you. Are you here? Because it's your channel of grace. That's why when you find one, you must hold them tightly. The grace mentioned in the above passage is not the grace that brings salvation, like I said earlier. It's the grace that takes you. It's the one that enables us. It reaches us where we are and takes us where God wants us to be. So it's not the normal grace for born again. It's the grace to make you. It's the grace to translate you. Is the grace that transforms. Is the grace that's made available by God to help us live a fulfilled life after becoming born again. The one that gives life and gives it more abundantly. But that one comes through the gift. Jeremiah 3:14. I want to talk about the grace. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 14 and 15. Jeremiah 3:14. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord. For I am married to you. Return. Oh, backsliding children, I am married to you. I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I'll bring you to Zion. Verse 15. And I will give you shepherds, or I'll give you a gift according to my heart. I will give you a pastor according to my heart. I'll give you a shepherd according to my heart. I'll give you a teacher according to my heart. I'll give you a gift according to my heart. Who will feed you? So the assignment of the gift that God sends to you is to feed you, is to provide pasture, is to provide grazing places, is to provide food, is to give you food to eat. So I will give you shepherds, and an evangelist can be a shepherd. A pastor can be a shepherd. An apostle can be a shepherd. A teacher can be a shepherd. Even a prophet can be a shepherd. A person who keeps sheep is a shepherd. So I'll give you a shepherd according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. So that is the grace that is coming from the grace of knowledge and the grace of understanding. The grace of knowledge and the grace of understanding. I'll show you five different graces that comes from these people, these gifts that God gives. Five different graces. The first one is the grace of knowledge. The second one, and knowledge in Hebrew is dia. And then the next one is understanding, sakal. Then it gives, the third grace is the grace for fearlessness. Are you here? Let me go into the word for you to see what I'm talking about. So your pastor or your gift would bring you five graces. The first one is knowledge. Second one is understanding. Jeremiah 23:4. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. 23:4. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more. So the first one says that they would feed you with knowledge and understanding. The first two graces. The third grace is that they will feed you and you shall fear no more. So fearlessness is the third grace that is released. When you submit yourself under the gift that God has for you, the first thing that comes is the grace of knowledge. Number two, grace of understanding. Number three, grace of fearlessness. Number four, he says that, nor be dismayed. So it gives you encouragement or boldness. And then the fifth one, nor shall they be lacking. So the fifth grace that you receive is the grace of abundance. You don't lack. You don't lack. The release of grace is the role this gift plays in your life. My role in a person who has received me as their gift's life is to release grace. My role is to release grace. My role is to release grace. No, there are many people who connected to me, and by connecting to me, they received grace and their lives changed. There are others too, they fought against. Look, anytime anybody has connected to their pastor and connected well, anytime anybody has connected to their prophet and connected well, a certain grace, it is in the word of God, you cannot fight it. A certain grace gets released. That is the reason why they are called the gift. It's a gift that God gives us. You fight gift, you fight the grace. You kick against the gift, you kick against the grace. You hide from the gift, you are hiding from the grace. And these are some of the graces. I'm just going to be talking about the five graces that you can receive. Maybe today and next week I'll deal with that. Then I'll move to how you relate with that gift. How you relate with that gift. I'll do that in 2 weeks' time. This week, today and next week, I'm doing the grace. The grace. The grace. So that's their job. Which area you expose to the gift, grace is released. Whichever area you expose, the grace is released. So you can receive grace to teach, but not to do business. I know people in this church, they are doing business and they are struggling, but they are never talking about it. And I'm watching them. And their covering has too much grace for business. And yet they are hustling. All they needed to do was just open up to their gift and say that, you know what? I am doing A, B, and C. This is what I'm going through. Just a few days ago, somebody walked to me and said, I have got one contract. I need money because I have got a contract and they have given me money. I want to rent an office and a showroom and set up my business on that side. I said, brother, I don't even know where it came from, but I believe that that's my grace. I just looked at his face. I said, that don't make that mistake. Don't rent a showroom. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Set up Instagram. Set up Facebook. Set up online. Don't do anything. Before you rent a shop, make sure you have 5 years rent, so that if you pay 1 year rent, you still have 4 years sitting down. But if you want to do anything that you want to do, a showroom, have it on Facebook. People are doing their showroom on Facebook. People are doing their showroom on Instagram. People are doing their... By the time the man got up, he said, you have saved me money. He was going to throw away money. What happened? He just exposed that problem to the gift. And the gift released grace in that area. By the time he was going, he was a happy man. Somebody comes to you and says that, pastor, my issue is my marriage. What's going on with the marriage? A, B, and C is happening. Oh, let's pray. Do it this way. Within 6 months, says, I've never enjoyed marriage this way before. I had somebody who came. That one was in a relationship. The relationship was killing him. I said, leave this woman. Oh, she'll kill you. Said, I've been praying and I want to leave. I said, your answer has come. Leave. Left the woman. Within months, got another beautiful, proper woman. Married her. He's so happy. I'm just waiting for my seat. But what I'm trying to say is that what you expose to your gift is what receives grace. If you hide that area dries up. What you expose to the rain is that thing.
Oh God.
What you expose to water is what receives life. What you expose to rain is what receives life. If you cover it, you don't receive life. If you cover it, you don't receive life. So the rain of grace is falling. It's falling all the time. How come that same pastor that you are submitting to, somebody under him, his business is working, his marriage is working, his finances are working, you alone, nothing works apart from your gossip? Is it not because you have covered everything and you have decided just to expose the gossip to the world? Are you understanding the message I'm preaching? You can receive grace for a good marriage, but not excellence in building. Every gift has the grace they release. So let me start. Grace number one is the grace of knowledge. Knowledge. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 9. The Bible says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. God in his wisdom said that I am going to give you a gift. I'm going to release a gift into your life. But the assignment of that gift is not to give you food. The assignment of that gift, if he gives you food, in about 6 hours, you poo-poo that food out. It will be of no use to you. The assignment of that gift is not to pay rent for you, because if he pays rent for you, in 6 months to 1 year, it will run out. The assignment of that gift is not supposed to provide accommodation. It's not supposed to provide banking affairs to you. It's not supposed to even give you money. He said, I am giving you some gift, and that gift, the first grace that gift will release upon you is the gift or the grace of knowledge. Because when you have knowledge, your life changes. Look at this one. It says that through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Your deliverance is not just in prayer, it is in knowledge. How many times have you not seen people go through deliverance sessions, and then after 3 months, you meet them again, and they are worse than they went in the first place? They have been... No. Have you not read the Bible that says that when the evil spirit was cast out, the evil spirit went out, went to dry places, moved around a bit, and then said that, make her go back, check my old place. Maybe that place is nice. The old evil spirit went back, saw that the place was garnished, it was clean. The Bible says he went away, looked for 7 stronger demons and came back. Why would the evil spirit go and look for 7 stronger demons and come back? Because when he came, the place was clean. No knowledge had been put there. No information had been put there. No wisdom had been put there. So the latter stage of that person was worse than the beginning. And that is what is happening. Because we are not getting knowledge and we are just getting deliverance, we are just getting pray for me, we are just getting this and that, we are always ending up getting worse than where we used to be. But the Bible says that I would give you a shepherd who will give you knowledge and understanding. If only you can receive the shepherd, you will receive the grace of knowledge to deliver yourself. You will deliver yourself by knowledge. He says in the same verse, Proverbs 11, 9, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, not through prayer, not through deliverance, not through that one. He says through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Through knowledge. May you receive knowledge for your deliverance. May you receive knowledge for your deliverance from poverty. May you receive knowledge for your deliverance from witches and wizards. May you receive knowledge for your deliverance from mediocrity. May you receive knowledge that will bring deliverance. Knowledge. No, I'm talking about the first grace, the grace of knowledge. When knowledge comes, the deliverance is strong. The deliverance is strong when there's knowledge. The deliverance is strong when there's knowledge. Where there's no knowledge, you would do deliverance for one person every week. Every week. More. Come out. Delivered. Let another prophet come for a service. Possessed again. What happened? No knowledge. Obebo deliverance. 2 months down the line, another service you are doing, you see, what is happening? You alone, what is wrong with you? It's knowledge. See, he or she has not exposed himself or herself to the grace of knowledge that comes through the gift that God has given him or her. The grace of knowledge. Grace of knowledge. I have seen it. I have seen it several times. How people who came around, who began to attract knowledge, began to receive knowledge, began to change their life right before our eyes. They didn't have to even go to school. We didn't have to take them through too much. The knowledge that they received from the word of God, it began to change them. It began to change them to the point where they themselves decided that I want to go back to school. They themselves decided that I want to give my life to Christ properly. They themselves decided that this life, I don't want to live it like this. They themselves decided that I want to do something better with my life. It came by knowledge. It says that knowledge delivers the righteous. Knowledge delivers the righteous. Knowledge is what delivers the righteous, not money. So stop looking up to your pastor. Bring me money. If they preach plenty, you know, go bring money. Somebody was sitting there saying, Pastor, God bless pastor. God has blessed pastor. Instead of sharing the money with her, he's not bringing the money. God bless me because I gave. God bless me because I gave myself to the knowledge and the understanding that my pastor, the gift that God put in my life, I gave him my time. I gave him myself. I gave him my gift. I gave everything to that gift. And I said that, use me, tell me, teach me. And my gift, who was my pastor at the time, put inside of me knowledge. And when that knowledge came, I began to attract the things that I needed to attract. And I delivered myself from poverty. I don't remember my pastor laying hands on me. You are delivered from poverty. I cast out the spirit of poverty. No, he cast in the spirit of knowledge. He cast in the spirit of knowledge. He injected me with the spirit of knowledge. He injected me with the spirit of knowledge, the grace of knowledge. So I began to know. So when foolishness comes, I know that this one is foolishness now. I know that this one is nonsense. I know because my pastor just, my gift. Recently, some people wanted me to enter into some trouble. But my gift had already spoken to me some years ago that this kind of temptation, don't fall for it. So I said, this one, I'll not fall for it. So my gift's knowledge that I got some years ago came into play. That delivered me. Then I called my current gift. I called my current pastor. I said, Pastor Eastwood, A, B, and C is what happened. 3, 4, 5, 6 is what they are saying I should do. What do you think? He said, run away. I said, goodness, mercy has found me. Mercy has found me. He said, run away. Don't try it. Don't go near it. Don't even look at it. It is a curse. I ran away quickly. And by the grace of God, I'm standing. Just because I exposed that area to my pastor. I exposed it to my gift. That is my gift. That's my gift. He gave me knowledge. Proverbs 19:2. Also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. It's not good for a soul to be without knowledge. It's like saying it's not good for a soul to be without a pastor. It's not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he sins who hastens with his feet. But the first part is what killed me. It's not good. And which I say, foolishness and yet. Ignorance and yet. Jimienye. Says it is not good for a soul. If you are a soul, then you must have knowledge. If you are a soul, if you don't have knowledge, it's not good. Unless you are not a soul. And I don't know. I don't know what knowledge you have though, but I'm just telling you that the Bible says in Proverbs 19:2, I'm only talking about knowledge. I'm talking about knowledge. It is not good. It is not good. And the source of knowledge is the gift that God places over your life. He says that I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge, because it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. It's not good for a soul to be without. So, my brother, don't ever look up to your pastor for anything but knowledge. Stop looking at him that, hey, won't you give me some money? Won't you give me some dress? Won't you give me some shirt? Look at the nice shoe he's wearing. Can't he even share it with me? Me too, I'm the same size. What size is he? Shut your mouth. Look for knowledge. Look for knowledge. Look for the thing that made him get to where he is. That is what you need. The thing that got him from the level that he was to the level he is now. That's what you need. The thing that reached out to him and pulled him and put him where you are now admiring him. That is what you need. You don't need a handout. You need a knowledge out. You know how there are cables that you connect, line in and line out. When you connect your line in and I connect my line out, what you need, what I'm giving you is the knowledge. It's the knowledge. I'm telling you, that's what they need, oh. That's what they need. When I connect, that's what they need. But rather, I remember when I used to, God gave me, the grace of God gave me, connected me to a gift. A pastor who was into business as well. And I connected to him. Anytime I meet this pastor and we are talking, he's telling me the contract he has signed, the commission he got. At that time, I was poor and hungry. When he talks, I'll say, hey, so after we have left with my wife, then I'll say, so he talk, even $100 he couldn't give me. He has talked. I said, come and see, open my boot. Then he opened the boot. Yeah, this was the commission I made. A few thousand dollars. And you see the notes. He opened his glove compartment. You see, pound sterling, he did it. 4,000 pounds. Hey, bro, what happened? Oh, it be contract we are going to do. Eh? So as I'm looking at it, I'm kalalaba, shikelalaba, kalalaba, mokata, katalalaba, I can't. Sure. I will leave him very angry all the time. That this man is a wicked man. I'm so happy. He never gave me a handout because he was always telling me what to do. You got to do it this way. You have to do it that way. You have to do it this way. Don't do it that way. At a point, I became so good at the things that he taught me that he said, I want you to come to my office and come and have a meeting with my management and teach them for me. I said, but I learned it from you. He said, you have overlearned it. I cannot teach it the way you do it. I cannot. My BSc, that I said, come and do it in my office. DIB. He said, come and do it. Come and do it. I need my staff to be fixed the way you are fixing yours. Because I never looked for handouts. He never gave me handouts. I looked for handouts, but he never gave me handouts. He gave me knowledge out. And when I took the knowledge out, look at my life. God has been good, oh. God has been good. But it all came. It came from submitting to the gift. And exposing myself to the gift. He says, I will give you a shepherd, or I'll give you shepherds who will feed you. If you don't open your mouth, how can you eat? He's feeding you. He's not injecting you. He's feeding you. So it comes by the mouth. We talk it, we discuss it, and we soak it in. But if you have shut down, how is he going to feed you? What is he going to do? How do you feed when you have shut down? And every time you are walking around hungry, you are hungry for food. You are hungry for marriage. You are hungry for accomplishment. You are hungry. You are hungry. You are hungry for money. You are hungry for a house. You are hungry. You are hungry for your rent. You are hungry for a car to drive. You are hungry for your children. You are hungry for everything. Meanwhile, he says, I'll give you a shepherd who will feed you. He will feed you. Every time he talks about a shepherd, he talks about feeding. So if you are not being fed, you don't have a shepherd. If you are hungry as you are in the church, you don't have a shepherd. You have not accepted the shepherdora covering of the gift that God has given you. My gift. I have accepted and received my gift. My gift, I have accepted him. I have accepted all the gifts that God has given me. Because my grace comes from the gift. Are you here? Proverbs chapter 20 verse 15. Proverbs 20 15 is the one that hit me hard. He says that there is gold and a multitude of rubies that the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. There is gold, and a multitude of rubies. They are all precious jewels and precious ointments and precious gifts. But he says that all of these things you cannot compare to the lips of knowledge. You can't compare. So stop looking for gold when you should be looking for the lips of knowledge. Stop looking for rubies when you should be looking for the lips of knowledge. Stop looking for shirt when you should be looking for the lips of knowledge. Stop. Look for the lips of knowledge. He says that there's gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. You cannot do without it. It's a precious jewel. I need somebody in my life who is my gift, who is always downloading knowledge from his lips. And whenever I speak to my gift, I receive a lot of knowledge. His lips are full of knowledge. And sometimes I intentionally want to talk to him. I don't have anything in particular, but I just want to talk to him. And then as we are talking, something comes up and the lips of knowledge begin to be activated. They are a precious jewel. They are a precious jewel. A precious jewel. A precious jewel. Stop looking for the things that are not needed. Your gift is not cut out to put food on your table. Your gift is cut out to bring knowledge to you. But the knowledge is what will put the food on your table. Don't jump the knowledge bit and look for the food. Don't skip them. And when the man is talking to you, just, oh, kasa too much. You know, they talk plenty. Make you finish, then give me some money. Finish, then give me some money. Anytime you meet a great man, don't look for money. You meet an accomplished person, don't look for money. Anytime God is about to bless you, he gives you a gift. The gift is a personality. That person is carrying knowledge. Tap that knowledge. Tap that knowledge. Find ways and means of tapping the knowledge. Find ways and means of getting the person to talk. If you have to sow a seed for him to talk. If you have to go and wash his car for him to talk. If you have to polish his shoe, polish his shoe. Do whatever it takes for him to talk. By all means, let him talk. By all means, even if you have a stupid question, ask the stupid question. You'll be surprised the answers you can receive. Even when you have an answer, you have an answer already. The last question I asked my pastor, I had an answer already, but I asked. And still he downloaded and said things about me that I didn't even know. He said positive things about me that I didn't know. I thought I was just ground zero boy. He said, where you are, what you are doing, and this and that, and this and this and this. No. I said, wow, okay. So that's what it is. It means that I'm not a ketua like that. Oh, that's powerful. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Should I give you another verse on knowledge? Then I'll just give you, go to understanding, and then I'll leave you to go. Proverbs 24, verse 4 and 5. I am giving you this for you to understand that the grace of knowledge, we have not begun to tap into it yet. The grace of knowledge, which is the first gift, the first release from the gift that God has put over your life. You have not started tapping it. You have not started tapping it in this church. And for those who are on Facebook watching, whoever your gift is, make sure you tap the knowledge. Make sure you tap the knowledge. But if you go for a gift who doesn't have knowledge, run. By knowledge, there are rooms. I'm just talking to you about the grace of knowledge. The grace of knowledge. Dea. D-E-A-H. Dea is information, direction, knowledge. You get to know things. By knowledge. Let me tell you something. Me, as I stand here, I have connected myself to about 4 strong people around me. As in fathers, mentors, pastors now. Who I take direction from. Each one of them, assuming, each one of them has 30 years ministerial experience. By going to each of them, how many years experience do I have? 120 years experience. That's what knowledge does. If Gerard comes to me for information about business, about ministry, he's not taking 10 years or 15 years. He's taking my 15 plus the 120 that I've connected to. That is more, almost, he's connecting to 150 years experience. He's connecting to a guru. He's connecting to a bottomless pit. But we don't know these things. So we trivialize. No. You are trivializing the grace at your own peril. That's why I said that even if you have to pay to do it. Don't let anybody deceive you that, why should the pastor, why? The things you don't value, you never get it. The thing you don't value, you never get it. That's why you can be working with. You can be working with me for a very long time. You will never get anything. You only get smiles. Because you have not placed demand by value. And you can work with a great man of God. Was Gehazi not working with a man of God? How come he didn't get it and Elisha picked it? What happened? Didn't see the value and didn't put value on the knowledge. He was rather looking for shit. Meanwhile, Elisha said that, hey, let us kill all the cows. Let's kill them. I don't need any of these things. I'm following the man. Wherever he's going, I'm following him. Whatever he's doing, I'm following him. I am going to collect something that will turn my life around. There's some knowledge. Look, after Elisha had picked up the mantle and he was coming back, he was carrying knowledge. He was carrying understanding. He was carrying fearlessness. He was carrying encouragement. He was carrying abundance. So when he got there, he didn't say that, my God. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I am carrying Elijah's information. I'm carrying Elijah's knowledge. I'm carrying Elijah's understanding. I'm carrying Elijah's anointing. I'm carrying Elijah's everything. May Elijah's God respond to me. Where is the God of Elijah?
And the God of Elijah responded because he acknowledged that the grace that I need is connected to this gift, Elijah. He's a crazy man, but he's that's where my grace is. That's where my grace is. The grace comes from the gift. Oh, by knowledge. By knowledge. Their rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. By knowledge, your room will not be empty. By knowledge. By knowledge, not by money. By knowledge. By knowledge. Their knowledge will fill their room with all precious and pleasant riches. Give me five. A wise man is strong. Yes. A wise man is strong. Yes. A wise man is strong. Yes. A man of knowledge increases strength. A wise man is strong. Yes. But when you receive knowledge, you increase strength. It is a continual process. It says a wise man is strong. Yes. Acceptable and accepted. A wise man is strong. A man of knowledge. He's not just strong. His strength increases. His strength increases. That's why the Bible says that in all thy getting, get understanding. Are you understanding me? A wise man is strong. Yes. The knowledge increases. 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 If there's anything you must demand from your gift, it's knowledge. If there's anything you must demand from your gift, and when I say your gift, I mean pastor. When I say your gift, I mean your prophet. When I say your gift, I mean the fivefold ministry that God has given you. If your pastor deprives you of knowledge and gives you sweets and fast foods, be careful, you are in danger. If you push your pastor to the point where he's afraid or he's uncomfortable to give you knowledge, and anytime he meets you, he's just saying something that makes you happy. Hey, go and pray for him and ask God for forgiveness and talk to him. That pastor, please speak the truth. Tell me the truth. There was a time a prophet had to be told that, don't lie to me. Yeah, tell me the truth. Because the prophet knew that. What kind of cry you bekun? So let me tell you stories. Says you will win the battle. Everything will go well. And when he finished, then the king said, this is not the truth. Tell me the truth. He said, you will die. That knowledge, you don't like to hear it. You don't like to hear it. You don't like to hear it. But it is your gift who must be able to tell you that. Your people that are following you, you are the gift that must tell them this hope. If you don't know what I know, you can't do what I do. The reason why some people cannot speak is because they cannot hear. It is what you hear that you speak. It's what you know that you do. You don't know. You can't do. So you can't be looking at what some big man is there. Say, me too. One day, I go do some. One day. You said that 10 years ago. One day has not come. You are now 45. Almost 55. That one day is not coming. Humble yourself. Go and see him. You are my gift. God put me under you to be able to feed me with knowledge. I need your help and your grace for something that I'm going through in this area. And then whatever he tells you, be ready to do it. If he tells you that go and fast and pray, do it. Tells you that give some more of your time to God, do it. Don't say that I was expecting him to come out and lay his hand and slap his thigh and do this. Now he's saying that I should go and wash myself in this Jordan. I said next 2 weeks I'll be talking about how to relate with that gift. How to relate with that gift. I pray that I'm able to talk about it properly. Because as I'm preaching this one, that one is coming. Are you in the church? So look for that one. You don't owe your members, man of God, you don't owe your members anything but to feed them with knowledge that will bring transformation. Don't be under pressure. By all means, how to give them food? How many times did Jesus feed the 5,000? There are times that he actually crossed over to the other side because he saw that the people were coming to ask for food. I'm crossing to the other side. Let me go and preach. I didn't come here to feed. I came here to preach. Let's not be under too much pressure. Every time we have to feed them. Every time we have to. If you continue feeding them, one day they will curse you because you didn't give them the knowledge that God needed you to give them. Every time you want to give them fish, when will you teach them how to fish? Grace number two. Are you in the church? Let me give you grace number two and then I will leave you. Grace number two is understanding. Understanding. Grace number one is knowledge. Grace number two is understanding. So knowledge is dea, D-E-A-H. And then understanding is sakal, pronounced saokal, S-A-K-L.
Sakal means to be circumspect. Sakal means to be circumspect. So you are intelligent. Sakal makes you an expert. Sakal makes you prosper. Sakal makes you a prudent person. Sakal makes you a skillful person. Sakal gives you good success. Sakal brings wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. I'm talking about understanding. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart. Watch this. Solomon asked for this. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge these great people of yours? Verse 10. The Bible says, their speech pleased the Lord. That Solomon had asked this thing. He asked for understanding. And the Bible says, their speech pleased the Lord because Solomon asked for understanding. That is why when God gives you a gift, one of the things that he places in the gift for you is the grace to understand. So number one, grace is the grace of knowledge. Number two, grace is the grace of understanding. 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 The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for understanding. So when you are a person of understanding, you please God. When you are a person of understanding, you please God. But how do you become a person of understanding when you don't have a gift? Or you don't expose yourself to your gift? Your gift brings understanding. Let me give you a couple of verses and then I'll leave you to go. I think I want to close. 1 Kings 4:29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. May God give you that same grace in Jesus' name. The grace of understanding. That's what Solomon needed to rule. That's what Solomon needed to rule. He gave him wisdom and he gave him wisdom. He didn't say, I gave him a lot of wisdom. Wisdom. But when it came to understanding, exceedingly great understanding. So we know Solomon for his wisdom. But we never know Solomon for the exceedingly great understanding that he has. I don't think it's only the wisdom of Solomon that made him who we read about and we talk about. It's his depth of understanding. The exceedingly great understanding that he has. May you receive that same kind of understanding in the name of Jesus. Exceedingly great understanding. It makes you think differently. It makes you talk differently. It makes you act differently. It makes you operate differently. And it gives you different results all the time. Exceedingly great. Exceedingly great understanding. Job chapter 12 verse 24. Job chapter 12 verse 24 and 25. He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth. He takes away. So he's talking about God. He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in a pathless wilderness. What it means is that if your gift is not downloading understanding, if understanding is taken from you, if understanding is away from your life, what happens is that you wander in a pathless wilderness. You keep wandering. So that's the reason why some people, they are old. They are old and they have been in the church for a very long time. But when you look at them, when it comes to marriage, they are wandering in a pathless wilderness. Pathless. Just a quiet behind the hall. And it's a wilderness. And they are not walking, they are wandering. Wandering people don't know where they are going, don't know what they are doing. They earn salary. Some of them, they earn a lot of money, but they are wandering. It's not the money. It is the absence of understanding. He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in a pathless wilderness. Give me 25. They grope in the dark without light. Without understanding, there's no light. Without understanding, there is no light. The reason why you are groping in darkness is because your gift that has been downloaded, that he has been soaked with knowledge and understanding, the grace to release knowledge, the grace to release understanding, but you are walking around him or her, whoever your gift is, you are walking around and you are tapping nothing. You are just tapping his shoe. Hey, you are just tapping his wife. You are just tapping his shirt. Hey, when I grow up, I'll marry a wife like this one. Don't sit in the church and be looking at your pastor's wife. When I grow up, I'll marry one like that. Oh, look for his knowledge. Look for his understanding. What did he do to get this one? What understanding does he have about marriage? that he's able to do this? What understanding does he have on money? What understanding does he have on the word? What understanding does he have on spiritual things? What understanding does he have on the anointing? That is what you must be looking for. Not what he wears, not who he marries, not what his children are doing, not what, I mean, we waste our time on so many unnecessary things. Then we take our time and we put a man of God on board. And we are discussing him. We are discussing his children. We are discussing his family. We are discussing, forgetting that he has made it. He has acquired a certain level. That's why you are talking about him. When will you also get to a level somebody will spend 5 minutes to talk about you? No, I want to get to a point where people will also turn me, my name, into headline news. People go on Facebook, they are looking for, what's he saying? What did he say this Tuesday? What did he say on Sunday? I need to know what he said on Sunday, because the thing that he says, no, it has some heavy weight. They grope in the dark without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. The reason why you are staggering in life, like Obiawa Numunsa, you don't have any direction. Have you seen a man who is drunk before? No direction. And when you look at your life, it's almost like there's no direction. You are just moving. You hit one wall. You hit, okay, this side, you know, if you go, okay, make I go here, see, okay, make I try here. You are like a drunk man because you are groping in darkness without light. Meanwhile, God has given you somebody, God has given you a shepherd, God has given you a gift that must give you the grace of understanding, that you are walking around and you have covered yourself against the grace, and so you are not receiving understanding, and you are confused. You are just walking in darkness. No understanding. We don't know what is going on. What's going on? My life, I don't know what is happening in my life. You will never know what's happening in your life. You will never understand your life. Oh. You will never understand your life. You never understand your life. But if you had opened it up to one gift that God gave you, he would just look at you and diagnose it immediately. And say, oh, this one is this one. This one is like this. Oh, this one. When I got married and I was confused about how to marry properly and how to deal with a certain temperament, I called my pastor, who at the time was my brother, who at the time was my marriage counselor. I called him. I said, Major, this and this and this and this is what I'm seeing. He said, oh, just like my wife. I said, how? He said, that kind of temperament, no, you don't shout. You don't argue. You just flow. You must be gentle with them. You must do this. You must do this. And when you do A, B, and C, they will trust you to a point where even when they have food in their mouth, they'll give it to you without thinking. I said, oh, if so, where they suffer plenty like this? Oh, since then, when I put in that code, anything I want to do, I can do. That code works. Anything I want to do, I can do. Just because my gift downloaded the grace of understanding. He says, this kind of people, you must dwell with them according to knowledge. So my gift had to download knowledge. He had to download understanding. I put in the code. Everything was decoded. Make a way. I say, okay, let's do it this way. Oh, fine. Let's do it this way. Oh. These days, I hear you are a great man almost every day. You are a great man. I said, God, more of the codes. Then by the grace of God, I met my pastor, Pastor Estwood. I saw how he's also organizing his codes. I said, this is also a nice code. I picked one or two. I used it. Oh, that one too. Afa. I said, look, I cannot grope in the dark without light when it comes to marriage. I cannot grope in the dark without light when it comes to finances. I cannot, because I expose myself to my gift. And I say that, speak. There's no embarrassment when I'm talking to my gift. Oh. There's no embarrassment. There's nothing like, you know, I'm also a head pastor. I cannot open up and speak all these things. I can't share some of these things. Me too, I'm a businessman. I cannot share. My gift is not a business person. But, understanding has nothing to do with business. When God downloads understanding, it has nothing to do with business. It cuts across. Are you here? So stop walking around like a drunk man, confused, wandering. You are a wanderer. They will kill you for nothing. Take cover and help yourself. The gift that God gave you is loaded enough with the grace of knowledge and the grace of understanding. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Discretion, it will preserve you. But understanding, it will keep you. That's why I love God, because he gave me a gift of a pastor who would feed me with knowledge and understanding. And he says that the understanding is what will keep me. So when I listen to the voice of my pastor, it will keep me. The reason why you have not heard scandals yet by the grace of God, we have not gone very far, is because I have a pastor who is always speaking. I expose this one to him. He says, no, don't do it that way. I open this one. No, don't do it that way. I do this. No, no, this one, no. I said, I want to do this. We are in the same moment, I bear better. And then the guy is coaching. My pastor is coaching. He's directing me. He's guiding me. He's giving me understanding. And by the grace of God, the understanding is what? He's keeping me. He's keeping me. I'm talking about the grace. The grace that comes gift. The gift is a channel of the grace. And the first grace that comes out of that channel is knowledge. The second one that comes is the understanding. Next week, if God permits, I will enter into fearlessness. I'll talk about fearlessness. And then I'll talk about encouragement. And I'll talk about abundance that comes from the gift. Put your hands together for the Lord.